When it comes to your life, your health, your well-being, you gotta, roll the dice. You gotta play roulette, and you gotta basically hope and cross your fingers that, you made a good deal with the insurance company. Because if you don't, you're gonna go bankrupt and you're gonna lose your assets. And I don't think that's what most people think of when they think of insurance. And if that's the case, I'm sure that's not what they want it to be. And that's why they like Obamacare. All right, listen, we appreciate your time. It's C. Edmund Wright. He's author of WTF, How Karl Rove and the Establishment Lost Again. Go out there, check out his book. And Edmund, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
KABU first went on the air in 1968, an epic year in recorded music. Dr. Zom, Stereo Obscura, Radio Lost and Found, and La Ruleta present Offbeat Sounds of 1968, a look at some of the best of the little-known records from that particular year. From Brazilian psych to twisted soundtracks to experimental electronic rock, we've got it covered from 8 to 12 p.m., Friday, October 11th, right here on KBOO, Portland.
Party. KABU is proud to present a KABU dance party with live salsa and Latin jazz.
Hi, I'm Nick Geffro, host of Jazz Lives on KBOO. I brought back my nine-piece salsa and Latin jazz band, Palante. We have some exciting musicians, including lead vocalist Isa Perez from Havana, Cuba. And Palante is putting on a KBOO benefit salsa dance party. Come hear us on Sunday night, October 20th, from 6:30 to 10 p.m. Celebrate with us on the big dance floor at Fontainebleau Nightclub. The club is at Northeast 3rd and Broadway in Portland.
Meet new friends and enjoy a KABU community event with some exciting Latin flavor. That's Palante, Sunday, October 20th, from 6:30 to 10 p.m. at Northeast 3rd and Broadway. More details at kboo.fm.
The time is 5:02. This is KBOO-FM Portland. And coming up next is a special membership drive edition of the KBOO News, which has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from the Clinton Street Theater, featuring independent and revival films, the Rocky Horror Picture Show every Saturday at midnight, as well as the monthly KABU Movie Night. The Clinton Street Theater is located at the corner of Southeast Clinton and 26th in Portland. Schedule and information at 503-238-5588 or cstpdx.com. Coming up right now, KABU Evening News.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KABU Evening News.
Coming up on the hour-long membership drive special of the KABU Evening News, an international coalition of human rights groups issues a report comparing global police responses to protest movements.
Workers from the Fund for Public Interest organize a work stoppage to call attention to contract negotiations.
Portland Parks and Recreation is hosting their inaugural Parque Diem event today and tomorrow, open for anyone who loves city parks and wants to give a little back. The volunteer event is located at 50 parks and green spaces across Portland. Volunteers can sign up for a range of projects, from invasive plant removal to mulching native plants. Many events are family-friendly as well. With a goal of over 1,000 volunteers, this event is the largest in Portland Parks history. To find out more and sign up online, search for Parque Diem. I'm Liam Delta.
And good evening. I'm Linda Olson Osterlund for the KABU Evening News, Friday, October 11th, 2013. The Northwest Conference for Unmanned Aerial Vehicles was held this week in the eastern Oregon city of Pendleton. Pendleton is known for its agricultural production, but hopes to attract industry and drone technology. The city's economic development coordinator announced a $100,000 grant available from Umatilla County for qualifying businesses. A local nonprofit named the Horizon Project is also offering low-rate interest loans for companies interested in relocating to Pendleton. However, the city must first receive approval from the FAA to allow drones into their airspace.
Oregon gets failing grades in a new national report from the National Consumer Law Center for its state exemption laws that are supposed to protect people in debt from losing everything to creditors, but instead may make it harder to recover from a financial hit. For more on the story, we go to KBOO News reporter Genevieve McDaniel in collaboration with ONS.
Oregon laws allow debt collectors to take more than they should. That's according to a new report that compares state laws based on whether they make it possible for people in financial trouble to recover when they've fallen behind on the bills. The report, called No Fresh Start, gives Oregon failing grades for minimum protection of a debtor's home, car, and household goods, and for allowing paychecks to be garnished for amounts over the minimum wage. Angela Martin with Economic Fairness Oregon says the laws can make it tough to live, let alone repay a debt.
If you're a minimum wage earner in Oregon, working 40 hours a week, a debt collector can garnish your wages down to $268 a week. Now that's less than the federal poverty level for a two-person family.
Oregon is one of about 20 states that got failing grades in the report for the amounts they're allowed to garnish from wages. Martin says the Oregon legislature already increased the wage and property exemptions for people in bankruptcy, and she thinks similar changes should be made for those dealing with collection agencies. Robert Hobbs with the National Consumer Law Center, which released the report, says it includes a sample law that allows a person to keep enough of their property to hold a job and keep from falling further behind.
What we're trying to do with this model law is raise the platform in terms of property that's exempt so that somebody, when they get reemployed, they're not bombarded by debt collectors, so they have the tools they need to move up and eventually pay off their creditors in an orderly way.
Hobbs says some states' exemption laws date back centuries and need to be modernized. Martin says last year, more than 30,000 Oregonians found themselves dealing with lawsuits from debt buyers, third-party companies that are the sources of many debt collection complaints.
These are companies that purchase old credit card debt, old medical debt for pennies on the dollar. Too often, the individual doesn't even understand that they're being sued until they're presented with a garnishment letter from their employer.
This is Genevieve McDaniel with KBOO News.
An international group of human rights advocacy organizations and civil liberties groups gathered data from around the globe to look for similarities in response to peaceful protests by law enforcement officials. Take Back the Streets, Repression and Criminalization of Protests Around the World, a report edited by the Canadian Civil Liberties Association's Abby Deshman, She spoke with KBOO's Robin Ryan about the dialogue she hopes the report will lead to.
I'm talking with Amy Deshman. She is the primary editor of the report Take Back the Streets, which was produced by a coalition of civil liberties organizations. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yep, civil liberties and human rights organizations.
And you specifically work for the Canadian Civil Liberties Association?
Yes.
And what was your role with regard to this report that's been issued?
Well, I'm one of the members of this international network of civil liberties organizations. As a lawyer and a policy staff that works directly on policing and protest in Canada, my home country, several months ago we came together with a group of similar people, lawyers, program directors from around the world, and sort of compared notes on how our governments were doing policing protests, what kinds of problems we were seeing, what kinds of restrictions on protests there were in our different countries. And it became clear to us that, you know, despite the fact we were from many countries with very diverse backgrounds, we have Egypt, South Africa, the United States, the UK, Canada, Argentina, you know, despite our diverse backgrounds, there were trends, there were similarities in how protest was dealt with. So we decided to pull together a report of some of the cases and issues we were dealing with, and my role was to steer the process, help compile the cases and edit the reports, and then pull together an introduction and conclusions.
And now that the report is complete, how will you distribute the information and with what aim?
There's a couple different audiences, I think, that we'll be talking directly to. One of those audiences is law enforcement. In each of our domestic countries, each of the organizations has a relationship with local police, with our national police forces. That will definitely form part of our ongoing conversations with our respective police forces. But there's also recommendations and concerns that are directed towards lawmakers, policymakers, both at national and international levels. So that will be a second focus of our advocacy going forward.
When discussion of generating this report began, what inspired the decision to take a global look as opposed to a more localized evaluation?
So each of the organizations in this network is working on a domestic scale. So American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, obviously focused on events in the USA. Similarly, Canadian Civil Liberties Association is focused on Canada. But I think one of the goals of forming an international network was a recognition that we are not alone in our work. Although we're working in different countries, the governments are speaking to each other, police forces are speaking to each other, they are sharing techniques, they are sharing weaponry, they are sharing new models of operating, and we needed to be engaged in a similar conversation so that we could spot trends, we could multiply our advocacy and support each other in the domestic work where we were working on similar issues. So I think one of the important points and the unique aspects of this network is that we are all domestic organizations working very much on the ground in our own countries, but then using an international network to compare experiences, learn from each other, and then ultimately come back and reinforce our domestic work.
What do you see as the best mechanisms at the grassroots level for folks to take an active role in defending everyone's right to assemble?
I think we need to be vigilant. Often people speak out when the speech or assembly rights are shut down for the issues that they care about. So, you know, you care about an environmental issue, and when an environmental group gets shut down, you might speak out on that. But for other issues that are not quite as close to your heart, let's say anti-abortion protesters, maybe that's not one you speak out about. I think we need to have a bit of a longer-term vision than that. The rights to voice an opinion, the right to assemble, are so fundamental. They can't just be linked to the issues we care about. They have to be in place for everyone, and that includes, you know, the issues that we personally find important as well as the issues we don't agree with. And so in order to make sure those rights are robustly protected, really the onus is on all of us to be advocating for space for dissent, even when we don't agree with the message that's being said in a specific instance.
I've been speaking with Abby Deshman, editor of the Take Back the Streets report and member of the Canadian Civil Liberties Association. I'm Robin Ryan, and this is KBOO News.
KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening. So now it's your turn. Joining us now are Ren and Sam to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Good evening, dear listener. My name is Sam. I'm here with Ren, reminding you that KBOO happens only with your support. That's by calling 877-500-5266. You can use our website at kboo.fm. You know that you use KBOO. You rely on the KBOO Evening News to keep you informed about local activist groups and their activities before, during, and after their actions. We offer broadcast access to activists that are shut out of the mainstream media. You are not going to hear about the CCLA, for example, that Canadian Civil Liberties Association. Did you even know there was such a thing before you heard the one of their staff interviewed on KABU? I sure didn't. And now I know about this. I am more informed now because of KABU. You are more informed now because of KABU. What price can you possibly put on that? Call and tell us, 877-500-5266.
You're not only more informed, you're informed by local news sources. Ian, Liam, Linda, they're working hard right now, working the mics, working the board to bring you local news. So reward that. Support that. 877-500-5266. Robin Ryan, she is in here every single day making the phone calls, getting the interviews, bringing you hard-hitting news, bringing you the local news. Support that. Support your local friends, your neighbors who dedicate themselves to making sure that you're informed about what's happening in your area, in your state. Call now, 877-500-5266, or go to kboo.fm.
And there are some other folks in your neighborhood who have already stepped up. They heard the call, and they have answered the call. They provided the food to feed the volunteers taking your calls at 877-500-5266. They are Katie O'Brien's at 2809 Northeast Sandy Boulevard. They are Aprisa Mexican Cuisine at 2311 Southeast 8th Avenue, and Marrakesh at 1201 Northwest 21st Avenue. They got involved in the way that made sense for them to provide food, because food is what they do. I want to know how you're going to get involved. Call 877-500-5266 right now.
We appreciate the restaurants that give to us, but we run on more than just cookies. We need actual cash to keep us going, to keep us sustained, to keep this local news broadcast on the air. 877-500-5266, KBOO.FM.
For the last 2 years, members of the Communication Workers of America have been in contract negotiations with the Fund for Public Interest. The fund raises money for Oregon State Public Interest Research Group, or OSPRIG, among others. Today, workers from its telephone outreach project have formed a rally in front of their offices in downtown Portland. Strikers hope to get the fund to agree to their contract, which includes the right to just cause for job termination and the right to unionize. Reporting live at the scene is KABU's Peter Schoat. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Linda. How's it going?
Great. Thank you for joining us from the rally scene. Tell us a little bit about what you're seeing there.
All right. Well, there's a ton of happy protesters out here with signs, and a couple of them are implying that the audience, which is all the people going down the busy one-way street that is 11th Avenue, honking. We have signs talking about justice, complaining about how the contract has been in deliberation for 2 years, and that's too long.
Are there any workers there who would like to tell us about why they're there rallying today?
Yeah, actually, I enlisted one of them, Vernon Walklin, who would be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, great.
Hello.
Hi, Vernon. This is Linda with KABU News. Can you tell us why you're out there today at this rally?
Yeah, totally. So we've been in contract negotiations for 2 years, which for a nonprofit with about 30 employees is pretty crazy. But for the last 2 months, the fund has completely stonewalled negotiations to the point where they have flat out refused to even tell us what it would take for them to agree to a contract. It's impossible to negotiate with folks who won't tell you what they need. So what we're doing now is showing them that we mean business and that they need to get on board and shake hands with us.
So they've been refusing to move forward for over 2 years.
Yeah, we've made some progress, but at this point, the last couple issues have completely stopped them in their tracks. Essentially, just cause is the one thing that we fought the most about over the course of the 2 years. And, you know, it's asking for them to have a reason and, you know, be able to provide it in writing before they fire somebody and, you know, have it be something that would actually justify firing the person. That apparently is way too much for them. And they can't move forward until we give up that position, I guess, is what they really want us to do.
And is this a pattern that's going around nationally in terms of trying to keep workers from having the right to just cause for job termination?
Yeah, I guess essentially the big thing is at-will employment is the corporate line. For, you know, the Fund for the Public Interest, who kind of fights for social justice and against big corporations on most fronts, to take up that position is, you know, kind of hypocritical and a little astounding. But you know what? I guess they're just as corporate as the rest of them sometimes.
Well, thank you for this report. If you could ask our audience to support your efforts in any way, the efforts of the Communication Workers of America in their contract negotiations with the Fund for Public Interest, what would it be?
Yeah, right now there's a whole bunch of pressure on Dave Rosenfeld, who is the director for OSPIRG. So if you're in Oregon, give Dave Rosenfeld a call or shoot him an email and tell him to put pressure on the fund to cooperate with us.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining me today. Can we go back to Peter Shove?
Yeah, here he is. Hello.
All right. Peter, thank you for your report from the scene. Anything else you want to let us know about today?
You know, I can't think of anything, so I'm signing out for
KB
News, Peter Shove.
Thank you, Peter.
The Oregon Department of Transportation, ODOT, is considering a request made to city commissioners by cycling advocates. It calls for a bike lane on Barber Boulevard in southwest Portland. Many cyclists voice concerns they feel endangered riding on the corridor. The Woods segment between the Newbury and Vermont bridges is especially narrow. Bike lanes come to an end entirely at this point on Barber Boulevard. On Wednesday afternoon, ODOT said that it would consider the proposed changes, which would narrow the flow of traffic to accommodate cyclists on a dedicated lane. A repaving project that will close a lane of the road next year will be used as a test run to determine the effects of reducing vehicular traffic. You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned for Bread and Roses after this newscast at 6. At 7, Hard Knock Radio, news, views, and hip-hop. Tomorrow's weather, a 40% chance of showers, and then on Sunday, clear skies and temperatures in the low 60s.
It's 5:23, time for daily commentary from Jim Hightower.
Are you one of those people who simply has too much stuff? You know who you are, so don't try to deny it. Yeah, you. Your closets are jammed floor to ceiling. There's not an inch of empty space on your shelves. You've stuffed all the stuff you can under the bed and couch, and you've already filled two rental spaces at the You Store It barn. In fact, you've tucked away stuff that you don't even remember you had. Like those two railroad lines you forgot you'd bought. Say what? Yes, choo-choos. I'm not talking about model trains, but actual railroads with locomotives, freight cars, steel tracks, and engineers. Who has so much stuff that they could forget they've got a couple of real-life, multiple-ton railroads somewhere in their pile? Billionaire Warren Buffett, for one. The avuncular investment guru, known as the Oracle of Omaha for his financial acumen, owns some 80 corporations with more than 2,000 subsidiaries, including everything from jewelry companies to utilities. In 2010, his sprawling Berkshire Hathaway conglomerate picked up another bauble, paying $43 billion for the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad. To get the okay of the Transportation Department for taking over the BNSF, he had to disclose whether he owned any other rail companies. No, was his unequivocal answer. But, oops, a few months ago, Buffett discovered that, actually, he does own a short line railroad in Iowa and yet another one in Oregon. "My bad," he told regulators, explaining that his closet is so packed with corporate things that he didn't know he had two trains tucked in there. This is Jim Hightower saying, "Okay, people, the lesson here is clear. Stop stashing and start disgorging. And here's a fun website to help you, or even Warren Buffett, say no to our culture of stuff. www.storyofstuff.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at hightowerlowdown.org.
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. You know, every day there's a host of volunteers working behind the scenes on this long line of computers to produce the news that you're hearing tonight that Liam and I have the great pleasure to bring to you. You know, we all do this because we feel it's important to bring you news you're not hearing anywhere else, and we love the opportunity to be the people who get to do it. We hope you love KBOO too for exactly those same reasons. Please join us now to become a member. Out in Membership Central, we have Ren and Sam to talk to you about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Thank you, Linda. Hello. And good evening to you, dear listener. This is the time when you get to step up your game and say, yes, I will make that move from passive consumer to active supporter. I will become a part of the team that keeps KBOO going. And you do that when you call 877-500-5266. Our good friend Mr. Hightower once told me, money, wealth is like manure. And you pile up it in one place, it just starts to stink. When you spread it out, good things grow. Won't you spread some of your manure on KBOO? KBOO.FM.
Mr. Hightower was just talking about stuff. If you're looking at your life and you're thinking, there's just way too much stuff in it, what else could I be doing with my money? You could be supporting quality programming, something intangible. You don't need the next iPhone. You need KBOO. And we are here at 877-500-5266. Or you can go to kboo.fm and click on the tip jar. Our local news is produced by your neighbors, by the exact people who are voting with the exact same ballots that you are, people who care about the exact same issues that you do. We're not some faceless corporation deciding whether or not stories should be cut because maybe they're not popular, maybe they're not interesting, maybe they're not about Miley Cyrus. There's no Miley Cyrus here on KBOO. You get real news, real local news. Call in now, 877-500-5266, and come in and see our Miley-free environment at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We're here for you. We're waiting for you. And bring cookies, actually. I said we don't need cookies last pledge break. We do need cookies. You can also give us financial cookies at kboo.fm.
Yeah, you know, whether it's pennies, nickels and dimes, whether it's fat stacks of folding green, whatever you've got, bring it to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue and meet the faces behind the voices. I've said it before and I'll say it again. We all have the faces for radio. Come see the truth of this statement. Come see the fact. Come immerse yourself in the humble nature of the studios here. We do not waste your dollars on palatial digs. We invest it directly into the programming. We don't spend money on the reporters. Yeah, they do this for free just because it's important to them. That just because you are listening because it's important to you. And unfortunately, or I'm not even going to say unfortunately, you know, it's just the way it is. All the work these volunteers do runs up a lot of bills. They make long-distance phone calls to Canada. They make to Pakistan, to New York, to Wisconsin, to Florida, wherever the news that you need to know about is happening, wherever activists are activating on the issues that matter to you, that affect you. KBOO is going there, whether it's usually by telephone, and that costs money. Won't you take a chunk out of our phone bill by calling toll-free, actually, 877-500-5266, and put a dent in that for KBOO. KBOO.FM. However you do it right now.
The Oregonian just closed its print edition. That is tragic. That is fewer reporters covering local issues that you care about. We're here to fill that hole. We are here to make sure that you are aware of what's going on, that you have the information you need to vote, you have the information you need to tune in to what's really important to you right now. And once again, 877-500-5266. As Sam said, totally free to call. Free to call. KBOO.FM. Totally free to go to our website. And, of course, we always love to see your smiling faces here at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue.
Republican senators met with the president at the White House today to discuss a possible deal to fund the government. After the meeting, they expressed confidence that a deal could be reached in a matter of days that would end the government shutdown and extend the nation's borrowing authority. Republicans have largely abandoned the effort to defund the Affordable Care Act, but they're looking for other concessions. Any path to compromise remains uncertain, given how firmly Democrats have insisted on so-called clean debt ceiling and budget bills, that is, with no Republican riders on ancillary issues. Yesterday, on the House side, Republicans failed to agree on a plan to extend the nation's borrowing authority for just 6 weeks. Senate Majority Leader Reid reiterated Friday that the House plan was going nowhere in the Senate. Senate Democrats are opposed to extending the debt ceiling for just 2 months because it would plunge the country into another economic crisis right before the busy holiday shopping season. Meanwhile, the Senate debated a proposal to raise the debt ceiling through the end of 2014. Six Republicans would need to break ranks with their leadership for this bill to pass over a likely Republican filibuster. Republicans grappled with an NBC Wall Street Journal survey released yesterday evening, that showed 53% of the Republicans, or rather 53% of the public, blamed Republicans and just 31% blamed the president for the shutdown.
Despite some signs of economic recovery, banks are still closing down their operations while larger firms are taking control of the financial climate.